There's plenty of economic news to sort through today. First off, the Labor Department announced that employers added 288,000 jobs in the month of June, unemployment falling to 6.1%.
That was good news not only for workers, but for investors as well. For the first time ever, the Dow Jones Industrial Average topped 17,000 points, continuing its steady growth over the last year. At the same time, President Obama recently told NPR's Marketplace that he's still seeing Wall Street and big banks take too many big risks. And for his administration, banking reform is an unfinished piece of business.
Here with us to talk about all the latest economic news and what it means for us is Chris Farrell. He's senior economics contributor for Marketplace Money. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Well, lots of data points to tackle today. Yes. Let's start with this job report. Billed as good news by many. 288,000 jobs added, better than expected. What accounts for that jump?
Well, here's the thing about this job report. This is the first job report I can remember in a long time where the response and the reaction was across the board positive, because the when you looked at the numbers, it was, you know, our economy in terms of the job market was firing on all cylinders across the board. And even the government sector, which has been a real drag on the job market, was showing some improvement. So I think this was overall what was striking about it is that it was across the board, and the drop in the unemployment rate. You know, you recall that we've had these drops in the unemployment rate, but it's because, you know, people are dropping out of the labor market and they've given up. They're not going to get a job. And this time we got a job in the unemployment rate for the right reason. People were getting hired.
So that labor participation rate, we're not seeing as many people giving up on the job market, maybe even seeing some come back in?
Well, in terms of labor participation rate, this is why I think everybody has to sort of be positive about this. This is a sign that the economy is getting healthier, the job market is getting healthier, but you raise the important issue. There's still a lot of people on the sidelines, very little movement in the labor force participation rate. And so there are many people, there were over 7 million people who are in part-time jobs that would like to be in full-time jobs. And then you have many people that have given up and they are on the sidelines. So again, this is a good report. It's going in the right direction, but the damage to the economy and the labor market has been so deep that we still have a long ways to go before we can get euphoric about the labor market.
Are there sectors that are doing particularly well where the jobs are really at right now?
So there's a lot of hiring in business services. One of the areas that was striking is this was a good report in terms of the manufacturing labor market, the factory sector, where we saw some nice increases in the government sector, which, you know, the private sector economy, if you look at the numbers and you remove the government, private sector economy has actually been doing pretty well. It's been held back in terms of the job market by a lot of cutbacks by state and local governments in particular. And in this one, what we saw was a lot of hiring of teachers. And that's a sector that really needs to be rebuilt. And I think we're going to start seeing many more positive numbers coming out of the state and local government sector because, tax receipts are up. There's a lot of construction spending, a lot of infrastructure spending that's going on around the states. So we should see some improvement there, too.
In general, stepping away from this particular report, are these monthly job reports a good reflection of the economy's overall health?
Well, you know, when we talk about the economy, you know, we can talk about GDP or what's happening in the capital equipment investment. But, you know, when it comes down to the economy, what really matters to most people is what's the job market doing? So the job market is still disappointing. We're the last couple of months, we're averaging about 270,000 plus. So we're going the right direction. The recent numbers have been revised upward. This is all good. But we want this to be a much higher number in order to really reach down and get the long-term unemployed and really start reducing those numbers dramatically.
And are we seeing a lot of people still in that long-term unemployed category, which, I mean, I guess they're still in the job market, they still are looking for work, still haven't found work?
Yes. So the long-term unemployed, just so that's you're unemployed for 27 weeks or longer. And in this report, we saw a drop in the long-term unemployed. So it was a sign. This is one of the most optimistic signs out there. Suggests employers are starting to reach down further into the job market to do their hiring. But it's still the long-term unemployed is still double its long-term average. So we still got a long ways to go there.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So as jobs grow, not as fast as many would like, are wages going up with them?
Rates are going up, but they're going up at like a 2% rate. And this is one of the things I'd put a caution out there. When I was reading some of the commentary, listening to some of the commentary coming, particularly out of Wall Street, they're saying, you know, this is an incredible, you know, and we've got to start thinking about a tight labor market. We've got to start thinking about inflation is going to be coming pretty soon. But you look at the wages, you know, the wages are not moving. They're up 2%, so pretty much matching the rate of inflation. And so we're not seeing any signs of wage inflation, which means there's still slack in there. And by the way, as the long-term unemployed come out of the ranks of the long-term unemployed and join the ranks of the employed, which is wonderful, they're typically more willing to accept any wage that they're offered. So that's also going to put some downward pressure on wages. So I think that's what we should be watching over the next year. And boy, I hope we see some real wage increases, but I think it's going to take time.
When we see a positive number like this, politically often somebody wants to take credit for it. Does somebody deserve credit for a couple good months of job numbers, or is it just sort of a economic recovery?
You know, it's an economic recovery. We're in the fifth year. I'm in the camp that thinks we should have been doing a lot more on the infrastructure spending side. I mean, why wouldn't you want to when interest rates are essentially zero? And why wouldn't you want to do more in terms of repairing your roads and your airports and mass transit and all kinds of things? But I think this is, you know, the state and local governments are cutting back less. And so that is really helping out. And it's just the sort of unfolding of more economic activity, more people being employed, spending a little more money. You're seeing in the auto market, for example, you know, there's been a lot of pent-up demand in the auto market, and that's where we can really see it. I expect we're going to see some pent-up demand in the housing market. So people are repairing their homes. They delayed a lot of purchases, and it feeds on itself.
Well, something that fed on these job numbers today, apparently the Dow surpassing 17,000 points for the first time ever this morning. Did the one drive the other?
Yes. It's really a remarkable. I mean, if you think about it, 64 months of a strong market. Think back to the dark days of 2009. The Standard & Poor's 500 is, what, up three times since then? This is one of the longest bull markets on record, at least in American record. So it's quite something. And, yes, it was if it's increasing signs that the U.S. economy is continuing to repair, as more people have jobs and they have more income and they're going to go out and they're going to be more willing to spend a little more. And so that's just feeding into increasing optimism about the outlook for the economy. You have Europe, Central Bank has decided to keep its interest rates really low. And so we have a sense that, you know, this global recovery is very slow, but kind of everyone's going in the same direction. We're actually one of the strongest in the world, but everyone's kind of going in the same direction. So again, that's going to help support our export market, support some trade. So that's all feeding into the stronger stock market.
Is this rational exuberance here or irrational?
Well, I think that it is rational exuberance. So one of the big debates that's going on is the stock market just reflect a sugar high? I mean, this is just the Federal Reserve. They've driven interest rates down. They've swollen their balance sheet. You know, they've flooded the system. And this is not real. And this is just another bubble that's going to burst. And I'm in the camp that doesn't agree with that. I think if you look at corporate profits have been strong. I mean, and they were down recently, but up until very recently, corporate has been very strong. Corporate cash flow has been very strong. You know, mergers and acquisitions are picking up. And to a large extent, if you think about the Dow in particular, that's 30 giant companies, and the S&P 500, which is 500 large companies, you know, they're no longer tied to the U.S. economy. They're tied to the global economy. And so corporate profits have been strong. Corporate earnings have been strong. And I think that's largely reflected in the stock market.
A lot of people are sort of indirectly invested in the stock market through things like 401ks, IRAs. Should these record numbers make people feel more secure about their retirement futures?
Well, at least we're no longer talking about 201ks and 101ks. We are talking about 401ks again. I do think for anybody who went through and has a 401k or some sort of retirement savings plan, and you went through 2008, 2009. I'm not predicting that we're going to go back to a period like that, but how did you feel? You know, don't get greedy. You know, take some gains if you think you're going to get nervous or if you want to ride it out. But it really has helped repair the retirement savings in the country. And so for individuals, I think this is wonderful who are able to save. And then I think they just need to be looking at, you know, the trees don't grow to the sky. The Dow isn't going to go to 17, 18, 19, 20,000 without some scary moments along the way. So you just have to be very conscious of where you are in your life cycle, what is your risk tolerance, all that kind of thing, and make sure that you're making judgments based on your lifestyle, not on what some forecaster is saying.
We're talking with Marketplace Money's Chris Farrell about today's economic news, a jobs report, the Dow over 17,000. Coming up, we'll look at GDP numbers and President Obama and the banks. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234.
And what do you make of today's economic news? Are you seeing economic improvement in your part of the state, in your life? Maybe you just started a new job or you're currently looking for one. Tell us about your experience at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. That's 800-642-1234.
We're talking about today's economic news with Chris Farrell. He is senior economics contributor for Marketplace Money. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. A positive jobs report, a surging Dow. Do you think the economy is on the right path? Are you seeing economic improvement where you live? And just have a basic question about what all these economic tea leaves mean anyway. Call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. So, Chris, a pretty positive jobs report, the Dow breaking another record. So, of course, our last report on the GDP, the gross domestic product, was a significant drop.
Yeah.
What happened there?
That was the GDP fell what almost 3% at an annual rate, and to a large extent, it was that winter that we all lived through and we all suffered, and it just had nationwide effects. And that isn't the complete story, but sort of in the mind of the forecasters, that's the story. It was the winter. The winter had an enormous dampening effect on the economy. And right now, it's a really safe bet that many of your economists are increasing their forecast going forward. Say they were thinking, well, we're going to be growing at a 3% annual rate. They may be saying 3.1, 3.2 after this job number. So the bad report is being attributed to the bad winter. And this labor market report, plus the ones that came in the months before, is driving a lot of economists to increase their forecast for the future.
Just to get to the basics here, what goes into the calculating the gross domestic product, or in public radio terms, what is a GDP?
So GDP is the all your goods. It's adding up all your goods and services in the economy. And so it's our broadest measure of all the activity that we have. And, of course, it's a snapshot. And it doesn't capture a lot of the intangibles. I mean, if you think about a company like Facebook, you know, billions and billions of dollars that it's worth. Now, if you start adding up Facebook in terms of its buildings, is it, what, 4,000 employees, 5,000 employees, and the buildings that it has, it doesn't come anywhere near close to its valuation. It's all the ideas, and it's and that's how they define the intangibles, and the GDP does not capture that. But it tries to capture all the goods, the services, the trade that goes on within our borders.
And is this, I keep asking you this with the jobs and the Dow, now is the GDP a good sign to a good indicator of the performance of the economy?
Well, the thing about the GDP is, you know, to one extent, it's looking back, right? So you had, you know, the nearly 3% decline in the economy from the first quarter. So that's looking back. So how much does that tell us about what's going on? So that's why we're looking at the labor market. What's happening with capital spending? What's happening to corporate profits? What's the stock market telling us is going to be going on? What are interest rates telling us what might be going on? So we're, you know, always trying to look at these other indicators. What the GDP does and what it is important is it tells us, you know, are businesses building up inventories? Are businesses, are inventories going down? what's been the performance of our exports and our exports economy. So it gives us a report card, and there's really valuable information in that report card, but it also is a snapshot that captures a past moment.
Now, President Obama talked to Marketplace earlier this week, and he highlighted what he said was some good news about the economy, but a worry about Wall Street and Wall Street banks taking big risks. He said reforming that is, quote, an unfinished piece of business for his administration. What kind of risks, what kind of behavior is he talking about?
So one of the things he's talking about is the incentives to take a big bet. So you're a trader. You're on Wall Street, and you, to a large extent, you're actually not paid that much. I mean, you're paid well relative to most people, but you're not really paid that much on a salary basis. It's what's going to be your bonus. And so as you, you know, become a trader and you begin to learn the ropes and you take $1 million bet, okay, you know, $1 million bet, you make some money, but what if you made it a $10 million bet? You'd even make more money. And so that's part of what he's talking about, and you, and with the hedge funds and all the, you know, some of the private equity and all these incentives to be taking very large bets that is still going on. And it's somewhat controlled right now because the memory of 2008, 2009, it's still incredibly powerful. But how confident can we be in 5 years? So let's say we keep growing. Unemployment gets better. People get happier. And the economy has a little bit of exuberance. You know, at that point, are we really confident that we have in place the kind of safety nets that will prevent a reprise of what just recently happened? And I think what he's saying is, you know, we've got some things are better. We have some better safety nets, but the incentives are still on Wall Street or the financial services industry broadly defined. It's heads I win, tails the taxpayer loses.
Right. That's the whole too big to fail argument. If these companies know that they're too big and important for the federal government to let them collapse and risk a massive depression, there's a moral hazard. They may take risks knowing that net is there for them.
And it's in, you know, and that is part of, you know, that's what Wall Street does. And in a global economy with the derivatives, you know, some of the derivatives, which are, you know, securities on top of securities, securities that are packaged or traded around the world, you know, some of that is actually improved. I mean, they're on open exchanges. People have a better sense of what's going on with the derivatives market. But a lot of these derivatives are hidden. They're in the shadows. And it's uncertain where the risk really is. So I think he's actually right to sound a warning. And there's some deep flaws with the Dodd-Frank bill. I mean, it's a lot of rules. It's a lot of regulations. And over time, you hire very smart people who figure out how to get around those rules and those regulations.
Any indication of reforms that the president's hoping either through executive order or somehow to get through Congress?
Well, I think there it's mostly up to, you know, one of the things that we're watching, I think it's up to a lot of the agencies, and that's where the activity is shifting to. So the Securities and Exchange Commission, which for, you know, for a long time, Securities and Exchange Commission sadly has been almost a non-agency. If you think about the rescue, I mean, it was the Federal Reserve was in there, the FDIC was in there, and where's the Securities Exchange Commission? They weren't even invited to the table many times. Now, under the new head with Mary Jo White, she's much more aggressive. She's taking a stronger stand. So I think a lot of this stuff is coming out through the Securities and Exchange Commission. I think the Federal Reserve, they're wrestling with a big issue, which is, you know, there's no point for them to be raising interest rates now, but that point will come at some point. But, you know, raising interest rates is really a blunt instrument. Do you want to raise interest rates, or do you want to tell mortgage lenders you have to be more conscious of the quality of what you're doing rather than raise interest rates on everyone? So I think a lot of it is happening at the agency level, and what Obama is basically saying is keep up the pressure.
I'll take a call now. We've got Steve on the line in Stoughton. Steve, hi. What did you want to bring up?
Well, all this great economic news, the stock market at high points and unemployment doing well. I thought Obamacare was going to crush our economy. What am I missing here?
Steve, thanks for the call. There has been an ongoing debate over the economic impact of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Is there any kind of economic verdict yet on this, Chris?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of heated rhetoric But, you know, I think if you basically look at it, the Affordable Care Act is working and it's coming closer to, you know, what the idea was. More and more people are signing up. You're starting to, you know, businesses are starting to figure it out. For many companies, it's actually in the end, for many companies, it actually wasn't much of a change. So I'm on the skeptic that the Affordable Care Act was a dead weight on this economy. In many respects, it may liberate aspects of the economy. Many people may feel much more comfortable trying and going out and start their own business. You know, I think that there's going to be an entrepreneurial surge on the supply side of our economy because of the Affordable Care Act, because we're going to have a real individual health insurance market for the first time, which is something we really haven't had. So, yes, the Affordable Care Act is having some effect on the economy, but I don't see it as a major factor, at least not relative to the political rhetoric.
Chris, before we let you go, the next data point you're watching for?
Well, we're still going to be watching in terms of the labor market, and I also really want to watch on capital spending. What's happening with capital spending as companies, are they going to start really investing more? What are they going to do with this cash? I mean, they have these huge amounts of cash. They're starting to hire more. Are they going to start spending more in plant and equipment and expansion? So watch capital spending and watch what happens in the job market. And just remember that there's still a lot of slack. There's still too many unemployed. There's still too many factories that aren't running at full runs. So we still have a ways to go, but at least we're heading the right direction.
Chris, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Chris Farrell. He's senior economics contributor for Marketplace Money.
Coming up, we ask you to share your real-life hero. Who's your hero, why, and what makes a hero? You can call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@wpr.org.